Cairo Knights. My name is Aaron Mason, filling in for G. Scott. And you know, all this week, I've been having some folks from My Northwest come in, Dyer Oxley, Nick Bowman. But there are three people that work over in the My Northwest pod that have not yet graced us with their presence. And all three of them are here right now. We've got Chase and Gordon.
Hello.
Michael Simeona.
Hello.
And Steph Klein.
Hi.
Here to share their stories of the week. Who wants to go first? Let's fling it out there.
I said Jason.
No way.
Jason it is.
What? Oh, my God. That's unfair. All right, fine. So, like, if you're like an 18-year-old who likes smoking while firing a semi-automatic,
mm-hmm.
the past few months have been really rough for you.
That's right.
Sounds like my cousin.
Exactly. We had 1639 raise the age of semi-automatic purchase from 18 to 21. And now they're in the House. They passed a bill saying that you can't smoke until you're 21 as well. So it's very rough for them.
It's a hard time.
It's a hard time.
If you're a delinquent.
I know. You have to find a new hobby. You know? Maybe Magic the Gathering or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
You're not a Magic the Gathering guy, are you?
Come on.
I know you better than that.
Yeah. I don't know what that profile is, though. So they can't drink. They can't smoke. They can still join the army.
Right.
Which is weird.
Yes.
But like the argument is that it's bad for your health. But the Army's bad for your health, too. So, I mean, gently speaking.
Getting shot at overseas.
It's not great for your health as well, so I'm not sure about that logic there.
So are shotgun bullets.
Exactly. But they don't have nicotine, though, so that's the thing.
Is this a result, do you think, because of, like, Juul, basically? Those Juul pods?
The singer?
What? Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought...
Former homeless folk singer.
What do you mean, Juul?
Juul, the J-U-U-L, those are those vape pods. They're nicotine vape pods that I believe legal action has been taken against them for specifically marketing towards kids.
Uh-huh.
And the juice, the vape juice that's in there apparently has nicotine content that's like, don't quote me, but like 20 times the nicotine levels in like your standard cigarette.
Right. We're still talking about the singer, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
I didn't
these
hear about
hands,
that.
These hands, they are my own. I can sing some Juul.
Can you sing Juul?
If we had
name
to.
A song right now.
Streaks on the China. No, that's Mr. Belvedere.
Okay.
But yeah, that's I think maybe I don't know why they decided to raise the legal age of tobacco stuff to 21 from 18. But I bet the increase in youth smoking, tobacco use, which has happened because of this vaping stuff.
Right.
That if you, because, you know, you have an older friend, like even if you're under the age of 18, there are 18-year-olds in high school.
Right.
So all the youngins can get their tobacco needs met by fellow classmates.
That was part of the logic. But now, like the 18 to 20-year-olds are going to have to go to everyone 21 and above, like the cooler ones, to get their cigarettes.
Right.
So it just shifts it upwards now.
So now the kids will be like, all right, give me a, you know, 18-pack of booze and some Juul juice.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And the latest Juul CD. Okay, I'll stop making references.
Oh, my God.
And a handgun.
The trifecta.
Michael Simeona.
So my story, obviously, being a Coug, this is an easy one for me. But Wazoo head football coach Mike Leach is teaming up with Spokane County Treasurer Mike Baumgartner to host a leadership lesson in insurgent warfare and football strategies.
I'm sorry.
At Washington State University.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Insurgent? Can you say that
it is called
please?
Leadership Lessons in Insurgent Warfare and Football Strategies. Begins March 27th on the Pullman Washington State University campus. Be available mostly to WSU Pullman students. Very limited, but will also be live streamed for the public. At a later date.
Okay.
Wow.
So this will basically be podcasted.
Hopefully.
Video podcast.
Yes, video, audio, something like that.
So can you, I can't imagine anyone isn't like familiar with Mike Leach, but there are definitely folks who don't realize why he doing this in particular is.
He's by far the most unique character in all of sports.
That's a big claim.
He has a book that says, that's called Swing Your Sword. And he's fascinated with pirates. And he's just known as a quirky guy. Even his offense, the way he coaches football, it's completely just abnormal. He doesn't do things by the book. He's okay. Completely opposite of that.
He's an eccentric fellow.
Yes, and he has a amazing fascination not only with pirates but connecting football strategies to like warfare.
Yeah.
And so this class is supposedly merging the two.
But he's also teaching gender studies as well. That's going to be one of his classes.
He could do one without
the totally
warfare
makes sense.
And football and gender studies. He branches out.
It's like doing an indie movie so you can...
exactly.
Doing the big studio comedy so you can fund your indie movie.
Yeah, so he's doing it all. And Pullman students will be the benefit. Too bad I wasn't there, or I won't be there. But, you know, it'll be for the public. So excited to see or hear what this is all about.
That's fascinating because a lot of people who don't like football... see it as just a bunch of big people smashing into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And people who do like football understand sort of more of the nuance and the strategy that's involved in every play and reading the defense, and if you're on the defense, reading the offense and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think that's a fascinating idea.
It's going to be wild.
Illuminate. Yeah, and to have Mike Leach be the one who does it. He's very... free-spoken, is that a term? Like, the guy...
Yeah, to say the least. Anytime his press conference every week is must-see TV. There's always one or two quotes that come out of it that you just don't understand what this has to do with football. But at the same time, it somehow just makes sense.
Do you have any favorite Mike Leach quotes off the top
man.
Of your head? I know it's
off
a big
ask. Off
the
top of my head, I can't really. But there's actually a story where he had a... I think it might be Mike Baumgartner, actually... basically came up to him and suggested a play call, and WSU used it this year, and they scored a touchdown on it.
Okay.
So he credits Mike Baumgartner with one of their biggest plays of the year. So I don't know. It's not an actual quote, but it's just, you know, he's not a normal football coach.
Right. Mm. That to me is a good leader, is someone who will take...
Oh, he'll listen to anyone.
Who will listen to anyone. I remember hearing Jon Stewart back when he was doing The Daily Show talk about how they came up with all that great material like every day. And Jon said, if the janitor walks by and has a good joke, like, we will use it.
Oh, yeah. That's Mike Leach to a T.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. Steph Klein.
Hi.
The boss.
The boss.
The boss at MyNorthwest.com. What you got for me, Steph?
Well, considering I'm so self-absorbed, I thought I would make this story about me.
Perfect.
Hey-o.
So I wrote up a little ditty last night that's now on the site about my adventures in bus riding yesterday.
Okay.
As you know, I live a ways away from the office, and it takes me a while to get here every day.
Mm-hmm.
Since my kids are on midwinter break and I have a little more flexibility in my schedule, I thought, let's try it again. Let's get on the bus. That was a mistake.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't know if it was a mistake, but round trip, 4 hours.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Both trips. Oh, right.
Round trip.
Yes,
that's what round trip
that
means, Jason.
That is two.
I heard differently.
Two and from.
Right. So, a couple things I learned.
Okay.
Did you know that One Bus Away is not a King County Metro property? That's not their app. So, they recommended that I text some number, 62550, for an update on the next available bus to your stop.
Also, because One Bus Away wasn't working, which I remember One Bus Away.
It was working, I think, but buses kept disappearing. So, like, I was waiting for the 423 up there, then all of a sudden it was gone. And then now I'm waiting for the 438. And so I was like, are there phantom buses? Amber Alert.
Is there a Bermuda Triangle for buses up there?
So, of course, I was trolling the entire time on Twitter, and King County Metro was like, well, that's not our app. You should use this. Try this. So that still really doesn't explain the missing buses, I guess.
No.
It was bizarre because then all of a sudden I'm waiting at the next stop, you know, where my transfer is, and then about 470s pulled up about a minute apart from each other. I found the buses.
That's the worst. There's a term for that. I don't remember what it is, but when you're talking about like transit planning, that the buses are supposed to be spaced out evenly and come at regular intervals, but there's a technical term for if one gets super delayed or one gets too far ahead that they just sort of double up.
I just know that from water slides as a kid that you're supposed to they delay it.
Right.
You just wait.
You gotta space it
wait
out.
10 seconds. so all the heavy kids don't you gotta clog it up.
I was a fat kid growing up.
Slam into the back of the little kid.
Oh, yeah, I loved it. Right. I would stop. If my friends were behind me, I would definitely stop halfway down the water slide.
Oh, really?
And wait for them to like slam into me.
You never really got injured when you did that.
Well, if it would have to be a tube situation.
If it was just down on your back,
then, then someone's getting hurt.
Yeah.
Right. And you send a bunch of kids down to clear the clog. That's how you run a water slide, I think.
Okay, back to the bus. I just have one more quick thing.
Please.
So I get off the express out of deep Snohomish County, and I step off the bus, and I'm on 45th, waiting for the 70, and I look up, and the sign says 70, and I'm like, sweet, I don't have to walk anywhere.
I'm supposed to be.
Right? Standing there, it's cold. Standing there longer. People are leaving. People are coming. I'm still awaiting 20 minutes later, and I'm thinking, I don't think this is right. Like, am I in the right spot? So I texted a couple people, got on Google Maps, and no, I'm not at the right stop. So I walk up the street, and I found the other 70 sign. And then, of course, I tweeted at King County Metro, and they got back to me and said something to the effect of, that stop is used on some Route 70 trips. At this time of day, you'll get better service at the other stop, which is up the hill.
All right.
So here I am, like a brand new bus rider. How do I know the difference?
That is absurd.
I felt like a dope, but also like...
No, you know, the dope is King County Metro.
Maybe fix the sign.
You don't have a sign for a bus if the bus doesn't stop there. That's the whole point of having the bus number on the sign.
You'd think they'd try to make it as easy as possible,
right,
but it sounds like the most complicated
you'd
thing.
You think.
Ever.
This stop right out here in front of work says it's closed. November whatever through November whatever. And I'm like, well, that's past, but I've also messed up a sign today, so I'm just going to go ahead and walk to the next stop.
They've shaken your confidence to the core.
And then someone's like, no, that bus stop works. And I'm like, it says it's closed.
What a great first impression.
Right? So I drove to work today. It took me 30 minutes.
They should have digital bus signs that updated. That would...
Well, they do.
Some stops have that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Some do.
Some do.
The expresses, right? Like the E line?
I think popular stations.
Yeah, it's mostly popular, more popular stops. A lot of the downtown corridor, like anywhere on 3rd, there's going to be those, they're like vertical TVs, you know, and they have the displays of real time. It's basically one bus away, but on a podium.
Supposedly more accurate.
Supposedly more accurate, but then they break all the time.
Sure.
Like, they're almost always broken.
Buses disappear, it turns out.
Yeah. Turns out!
Should have gone to platform 9 3/4 stuff.
I felt like that's where I was.
Nerd alert.
Fourth dimension style.
Oh, Harry Potter reference.
How do you like the bus? I mean, I know it's outside of the complications from travel. Like, when you actually get on the bus and sit down and you're going for the ride.
I'll say this. Community Transit Express buses are pretty nice. They're
cool.
Pretty plush.
Uh-huh.
You get on the 70 and it's like, oh boy. I don't even know what that smell was. I can't even pinpoint it. Seriously, I'm sitting there. I'm like, what is that? And then this poor lady, you know, across from me was asking everybody for change. I'm like,
yeah, sure.
I didn't even bring the right change for the bus, lady. I've got all kinds of problems.
Right.
Don't come knocking to me.
We live in a cashless society, ma'am.
Right.
You got Venmo?
You got a Square?
It was
okay.
Run
the card.
It's not my favorite. Obviously, the car's cozier, but I'm trying to do, you know, this whole climate change thing. I guess it's real or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do my part.
You really... Planet's
sold
fine
that hard.
Right.
Steph took a bus. We're all saved.
Congrats.
Hey.
Oh, you fixed it.
I'm told everyone makes a difference. So that's mine for the year, I guess.
I really like to hear that because I've been a bus rider for a long time. I don't own a car. Like that's how I get around everywhere. And there are people, like, the city keeps pushing everyone toward more mass transit. There's definitely, you know, a lot of effort in that direction. We just talked last night about how they're going to shut down the tunnel, the bus slash train tunnel under downtown, and just make that train only and push all those buses up to the surface streets, which is a stupid idea. But I really like to hear from people who have not been transit riders. And I know just from talking to you around the office that this is something that you are trying to do. And so getting feedback on your experience, I think, is great and may even convince some other people out there who are like, no, I love my car. There's no way I'm getting on a bus or a train or anything, to maybe think twice about it, reconsider.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely, if you can make it work, great. I mean, but it can be pretty inconvenient. So
sure.
I don't know. It's tough. I think the big thing for me is like, my time is my greatest asset. I've got two little kids. I live far away. Like, I don't have a ton of time just to sit there for 4 hours and waste. Like, I was trying to do work on the bus, like load a couple groceries into the cart online, like just try to get things done. And when you come at me with like, hey, you can watch YouTube videos of cats and do this, like, dude,
that's for work.
I don't want to do that.
Jason,
I don't want to do that stuff. Like, I want to try to do something.
Yeah.
Put an exercise bike on the back of this
thing.
That
would be amazing.
Oh, there we go.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, the train, right? That's one of my biggest ideas. I'm like, put a couple exercise cars on that bad boy so I can knock out a workout.
Dude, a gym car?
Right.
At least the BO smell will overwhelm all the other smells.
Yeah, just second, put it on one car and you're good.
Open the window. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
I would love a gym
car. Dinner on there or do something so when I get home, I don't feel like I just blasted through 2 hours.
I feel like one of the advantages is to riding transit is what you just talked about, the ability to be able to like get some work done or get ahead of the day. You know, maybe you start your emails on your way in or something. I am jealous of people who do that, because if I look at anything for more than like 10 seconds, I just start feeling nauseous. I get very motion sick, I guess. So I don't. So I'm jealous is what I'm trying to say. So for me, when I used to live on Alki and commute to here, and that was an hour and a half each way, depending on the traffic. And I just have to sit there and like listen to a podcast and twiddle my thumbs because I can't look at anything.
Well, it's crazy. So I take the bus sometimes here, and I live a mile and a half away. Like, not that far.
Yeah.
And it's still, there are times where I can just walk home and it's faster than taking a bus.
Yeah.
And that's the frustration, right? Like, you think you live in Seattle, you can get anywhere very easily with public transit, but there are still times where it's not convenient.
You ever ride a bike? You ever do the bike share thing?
No, I don't do the bike share.
No?
No, I'm a little too soft for that.
Lime's going all e-bike, though.
I know. I'm still too soft for it. Honestly, though, I know people rail on the bike lanes, but if there were bike lanes consistently from here to home, I would consider biking.
Yeah.
I don't feel safe biking on the streets.
I don't trust like biking specifically because of drivers like me. Like, so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I know. I don't want to learn someone else's perspective, so I don't want to. Why would I do that? I'm going to stick to driving.
Then you're going
to
empathize with the bike ride. It's
going to
change your whole driving.
Yeah, I don't want to see how burgers are made. I don't want to know. I don't want to know that. So come on.
Oh, ignorance is bliss, right, Jason?
Yeah,
yeah. I agree with you.
I like the scooter idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I was recently in Salt Lake City, and they had them all over the place. It was awesome.
It's fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hauling down the street in his suit with his briefcase on a scooter.
And I don't, I can't remember why specifically the city banned them. Something about they didn't want them on the streets. It was like a safety issue. But like, listen, people fall down on bikes all the time. Like, what difference does it make? Get on a scooter. If you can't ride a scooter, don't get on the scooter.
It's not like the bike lanes are packed. Put them in the stinking bike lanes.
Yeah, it's fine. Guys, we're solving the world's problems.
I agree.
Love it.
Nailed it.
Steph Klein, Michael Simeona, Chasen Gordon from MyNorthwest.com. Thank you so much for hanging out and talking about some stories with me. We will return with more show right after these words. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. My name's Aaron Mason, filling in for G. Scott, and it's slightly after 9:30, so you know what that means.
Stacey's on, turn up the microphone. She's talking sports, so you're about to learn a ton. At 9:33, she comes in to talk with G. And you know from the song that now's the time when Stacey's on.
Stacey Rouse!
Hello!
Hi!
Hi!
Hey, that's me on that song.
Yeah, I know. You did such a great job. I love it.
Thanks. Just figured I'd point that out.
I feel very famous.
You know who loves that song? Frank Shires.
Yeah, he does?
I think it's like his straight-up favorite song. He talks about it like it is.
Song first came out. Every other person was like, "Hey, does your mom have it going on?" Yeah. And so I hated the song, but then I liked it after hearing this version.
Fountains of Wayne wrote that song.
Yeah, they sure did.
Band
wrote that song and then completely ruined all jokes in high school.
That's awful. That's like my name being Aaron, and after that Key and Peele sketch,
Aaron.
Everyone on Earth, Aaron. I'm like,
yeah, yep. Let's talk about. Something that started out as a moment in the sports pit where we all thought, oh my gosh, what? And then it turned into, wait a minute, this is really sad and serious. So Patriots owner Robert Kraft was charged with soliciting prostitution. And it's an official case. Like, these are police. They released a list of men that were involved. I think the list, the people that they initially charged, it's like around 25 men. But it's around 150 people that could be caught up in this sting, a prostitution sting. So when it first came out, Maura Dooley, who's John Clayton's producer, was sitting at her computer. And she said, oh, my gosh, John just texted me. They were planning the show. And so they text each other news updates. And he said, whoa, and like sent that to Maura. And they didn't end up like going in depth. They already had the show planned because it came out just before 10.
Okay.
But she's a Patriots fan from Boston. So, so at first I was kind of like teasing her. And then we learned more about it. And it turns out that this entire thing was part of a, I think, weeks, potentially months long investigation into a massage parlor in South Florida that was being investigated as a human sex trafficking area.
Oh, my.
So it wasn't just kind of like a under the table sort of illegal thing. It was there were
this
women...
isn't like two consenting adults.
Well, it's tricky. It's women who are I think a lot of the women they said were from China and they were working in the parlor and living in the parlor. And it was it was one tweet from a reporter covering it from the press conference I saw said that a lot of women came to the parlor believing that they were going to be given legitimate jobs, like these young women from another country. And it ended up being just a front. And a lot of the women lived there, like had poor hygiene, meaning like that there was little medical attention that they were receiving.
Sure.
So it's not funny at all. It's actually really horrific. And so, as far as it pertains to Robert Kraft in sports, I don't think anyone thinks that Robert Kraft is going to lose the Patriots, but this is certainly a violation of any kind of code of conduct.
Right.
And I don't know that I'd expect jail time, but there's certainly like fines and a case coming in his way. And he and his team maintain that he did not break the law. But I think it's pretty hard to say you didn't when... Of the 25 of the people that they're charging, including Robert Kraft, Florida police say that they have videotaped evidence.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to beat. Is there anyone else high profile?
Well, this is actually really interesting and why when we were talking about it over on the 710 ESPN site earlier, we were all thinking, what if this becomes a much bigger thing? This isn't just like a South Florida kind of, you know, hyper-localized but sad story.
Right.
Like, this could involve well over 100 people in well-connected communities or in high-profile positions. So Adam Schefter, who's an ESPN NFL insider, said that Robert Kraft is not the biggest name involved. So when you tell me that the GM of the most successful...
Of the current Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, or the owner, I mean, of the most successful NFL team right now is not the biggest name involved. I'm wondering who else is involved.
And you know he didn't, like, look this place up in the phone book and check it out. This is probably...
This is a place where you hear about through other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's a lot of this is just breaking. The case itself... I think broke Tuesday, not with Robert Kraft's name attached, but with the owner of the shop being arrested.
Okay.
And so that broke a little bit earlier this week, but now names are starting to come out. And I think it's only a matter of time before we hear about a lot of the other names.
Wow.
And I'm floored by this story. I mean, this is huge and it's sad. It's not, it's initially there were lots of jokes. And I get it, right?
Because right?
A lot of people hate the Patriots. Like,
sure,
it's a you know, low hanging fruit, but it's a pretty serious charge in a really sad situation for a lot of the young women that are there that don't have a lot of power in this situation.
Well said.
Yeah, so it's a big deal.
Speaking of big deals,
Stacey is the co-host of Seattle Sports at Night.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Over on 710 ESPN.
Yes, we're Monday through Thursday, so we just had our second day yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And
it was great. At the very end, we have lots of questions.
Mm-hmm.
We do like a 10-minute segment of kind of a Reddit Ask Me Anything.
Yeah.
But it's Ask Us Anything, because there's three of us. And someone asked what our least favorite movie was. And I did not agree at all with Curtis Rogers on this. He said his least favorite movie was Memento.
What?
I know.
Curtis.
That's what I said.
Wait a minute.
It's a great movie.
That's an excellent movie.
Get out. Mine was Nicolas Cage in Next. I don't know if you've seen that. It's
awful. I have not.
You don't need to. It is.
I like bad movies, though.
I like campy once in a while.
Okay.
This is something that, like, maybe now if you watched it, you'd laugh.
Okay.
And it'd be funny, but it's not. It wasn't meant to be that way. It's an action movie.
Do you know what movie I hated when it came out? And I probably...
But you like it now.
Wouldn't. I haven't seen it since.
Okay.
It was, but it's my go-to answer for the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, what is it?
Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion.
I love that movie.
So does everyone.
It's so
except
good.
Except me.
You know why? Because that movie was before its time.
Yeah, and I was like a 17-year-old boy. Like, I just didn't get it.
That's the thing. I think where they struggle is... There is a level of humor in pretending to be
so
kind
stupid.
Of stupid.
Yes.
Not in an annoying way, but right. In a way that highlights something ridiculous about just a general thought.
It's Will Ferrell's entire career.
Exactly.
Yes.
But I think sometimes when young, pretty women do it, people just assume that they're actually stupid.
Mm.
And so the humor doesn't always translate well, which really sucks because
yeah. They
are hilarious in that movie. They are so funny.
That really speaks to me because mm-hmm. I think that's the fundamental reason why I didn't get it then.
Yeah.
And like I said, probably would like it
it's
now.
It's a humor that...
It's biting.
It's like you said, it's a humor that
sharp.
Works for Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly and Step Brothers.
Right.
Because they're guys and people don't assume that these 40-year-old men are that stupid. They think that like, oh, it's hilarious. They're playing guys that are just completely maladjusted.
Right.
But again, I think people just take it too seriously when it's women. And it's like, you do realize these women aren't this stupid. And it's the exact same humor. I've even gotten that from people before thinking I'm literally stupid when I'm just kind of doing
really?
A bit. And it's like, you know, I think it's a really common thing that people do is you just, it's self-deprecating essentially.
Yeah.
But I think that sometimes people just don't, I think with young women particularly, they read it as it's hard to read the humor into it because
yeah.
they just think it's
is that do you think that's why for so long people said like women aren't funny? Because they were treated
maybe that's
or seen differently like that.
It's just such a tricky thing, right? Because if you do that, then people say I've had someone tell me once when I was making some jokes about a reality TV show, well, you don't want to play into that stereotype. And it was disappointing to see you do that. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I like reality TV.
Yeah.
I think I'm really smart. I'm capable and professional. I could talk to you about the Seahawks for hours.
Sure.
I write about them for hours every day. But if you want to have a debate about whether or not you think Kaylin's going to be the next Bachelorette, I'll throw down. Like, let's do this. And I don't think that liking one thing makes you stupid. And so I think that there's still a little bit of that. I think that just depending on who you are, I don't think it's just women.
Yeah.
But in my experience as a woman, I think it's hard, right? You're like, you're not allowed to like everything and be anything you want. You have to be more careful. And I'm sure that it's that way for a lot of different groups. I just listened to this podcast the other day that had Maria Taylor on it, and she's a young Black woman.
Okay.
And for her, it's like doubly difficult because she's like,
right.
You're walking a balance beam. So it's, yeah, I'm not comparing the two at all, but it's just, it's a conversation about humor and jokes that kind of miss the target, led us down this path of
yeah.
like, well, who's allowed to make jokes
yeah.
and why don't jokes work on certain audiences when they come from certain people? So, but Romy Michelle is wonderful, and that's all I'm full circle. The movie's hilarious.
Oh, Stace, you're such a professional.
Thanks.
You're really good at this. Congratulations on the new show.
Yeah.
Thanks for being
here. You guys are welcome
here.
To tune in. It'll be on before you guys.
Cool.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
We will be back, everybody. We're going to close out the show after a few quick words right here on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM.
Han, what's the yellow square for then on the calendar? Hmm?
That was my birthday. It was last month.
That's right. How are we going to close things down? Birthdays, baby!
Birthdays. Yeah, baby!
Yeah, see? DB knows what I'm talking about. All right, listen, there are some people of note that were born today that I want to talk about. First of all, how about we start with Dr. J?
Why not start with the doctor?
Julius Erving. He has earned our respect. We start with the great doctor. 69.
Oh, is he actually 69?
Years young.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Of course, in the political realm, we've got a Ted Kennedy that was born on this day.
Oh, yeah,
no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
Also no longer with us. You know, a lot of people talk about 45 these days, number 45.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give a shout out to number one.
Oh, wow.
George Washington.
Oh, boy.
It's George Washington's birthday. There's a bunch of you were just giving me a list of a bunch of famous folks.
Yeah, there's like Drew Barrymore's one of them.
Okay.
We got Kyle MacLachlan of Twin Peaks fame.
Mm-hmm.
We got Rachel Dratch of SNL fame.
So funny.
We've got James Blunt of You're Beautiful.
Yeah.
Fame. This is great. Yeah, that's basically it.
I was hoping you'd hit me with that.
That's like one of my favorite voices to do because when I was like 12 years old, I legitimately unironically loved that song.
Will you do me a favor and lower the bed just for a second and give me some James Blunt?
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. It's true.
Oh, that's so good. That's my man, Dave. We're having a good time. We're going to shut it down by having a good time. Also today, born this very day, also no longer with us, but he's been given a Google Doodle, Steve Irwin, a.k.a. the Crocodile Hunter. He died in 2006, September 2006, and maybe it was because of the age I was when he came to popularity. I remember watching him in high school, and it was really the first time you ever saw somebody go after animals the way Steve did, or interact with animals the way Steve did. He was a professional. I mean, the things he did looked crazy. He got a lot. People reacted very strongly to him jumping on crocodiles and holding dangerous things.
Yeah, and it was like, it was fearless, but also like compassionate towards the animal, which is a really interesting combination.
Yes, and this beautiful sense of just awe and majesty at nature. He would pick up like the ugliest giant spider you've ever seen, and it's crawling on his hand, and he's just like, isn't she beautiful? Look at those legs. And I mean, no, I don't want to, Steve. They're disgusting.
I know, but he just had such a respect for it. I think one of my favorite actors, this guy Dominic Monaghan, who was obviously in Lord of the Rings. He was in Lost. He now has this show. Maybe he doesn't anymore, but it was called... I think Wild Things with Dom or something like
that.
And he very much took after Irwin in so much as like just very much trying to connect with animals on a being to being level and just like very much connecting with their energy and all of that good stuff.
I love that. Yeah, Steve Irwin, Crocodile Hunter, he was basically in charge of the Australia Zoo, which is a major zoo, big time zoo. And they do a lot of conservation work. He was basically, again, maybe because of the age I was at the time, he was the first person that I knew there were like, that conservation was a thing. I was aware of Sir David Attenborough. I knew about Jane Goodall and her studying of the apes. But the Crocodile Hunter was the first guy that I'm like, that's my guy. Like, that's my dude. Right there.
He was also just fun. He was just like a very charismatic person. And as a kid, especially watching him was like, He was the Mr. Rogers of nature.
Yes. He was, yes. Just a glowing ball of positivity. And, you know, some people say, like, well, you're going to get yourself killed one day. And Steve was always like, no, what I do, I'm doing, like, taking an educated guess, right? Like, he's not just launching out in there willy-nilly, but he always said, if I'm going to get got, I'm going to get got in the water. And that's what happened to him. So, on this day, we remember Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. Today is his birthday. Many, many blessings to him and his family that are still doing some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, totally. They are, all of them.
So I want to say goodbye. I want to thank you all. This has been a absolutely delightful 3 days. David, you've been so helpful. I couldn't have done this without you. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute joy.
Thank you, Aaron. This has been so much fun. I love it.
My first solo radio gig, and I would like to thank G. Scott and the folks here at Cairo, everybody that was on today, Frank Shires, the My Northwest crew, Michael, Steph, Chasen, Stacy, Tom Tagney, the great Tom Tagney, and Monday, we're going to get back to normal. G's going to be back, Drew's going to be back, all your faves. But for tonight, for Cairo Nights, this is Aaron Mason saying good night. Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM.